All right, so get ready because we're diving deep into temptation.
Oh, yeah, but we're going way beyond those late-night snack cravings, you know?
That's right. We've gotten an amazing collection of Bible verses all about temptation,
Yeah.
and we're really going to unpack what they mean for you.
Absolutely. And I think it's important to highlight that we're not just talking about the obvious stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we've got verses from the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke,
Of course.
some really thought-provoking selections from the epistles, Hebrews, and Corinthians.
Yeah, those are good.
We'll even touch on a little bit of Proverbs for some of those practical nuggets of wisdom,
Ooh, I love Proverbs.
and a sprinkle of Revelation just to keep things interesting.
Got that sprinkle of revelation. So it's kind of like a spiritual buffet of temptation
Yes,
here.
it is, yes.
But by the end, you'll have a deeper understanding of what the Bible says about this universal human experience.
That's the goal.
You'll learn to recognize temptation, how to resist it, and why understanding it is so crucial to living a fulfilling life.
And by the end of this deep dive, you'll have some practical takeaways
For sure.
that you can apply to your own life.
Absolutely. So let's just tackle this big question right up front.
Okay.
What is temptation according to the Bible?
Well, James 1:14 paints a pretty clear picture.
Yeah.
Each person, it says, is tempted when they are dragged away and enticed by their own evil desire.
So it's like this imagery of being pulled away from the right path
Exactly.
by something we crave.
By something we crave deep
Okay,
down.
so it's not like some outside force
No.
that's always trying to trip us up.
It's an inside job.
It's an inside job.
It all starts within us, triggered by our own yearnings. But, you know, external factors, they definitely play a role.
Oh, for sure.
It's like a tangled web,
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
Feeding those desires and making them even harder to resist.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Think about 1 Timothy 6:9.
Okay.
It warns us, those who crave wealth are prone to falling into a trap
Yeah, well, the world is full of those shiny distractions, isn't it?
that can just tap into our deepest desires, whether it's for wealth, status, belonging.
It's like those targeted ads that pop up online, you know,
Yeah.
exploiting our desires for things that might look appealing,
Right.
but ultimately they lead us away from what truly matters.
Oh, for sure.
So it's a two-way street.
Okay.
Our own desires can lead us astray, but the world around us can amplify those desires
Right.
and make them powerful temptations.
Really powerful.
And here's a point that I find both comforting and a little daunting.
Okay.
Temptation is a universal experience.
It is.
None of us are immune, no matter how good we think we are. 1 Corinthians 10:13 reminds us, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind.
That's actually quite reassuring in a way.
Is it?
Knowing that we're not alone in this
Right.
makes it feel less overwhelming. But
Exactly.
even the most righteous individuals, they face temptation too, right?
Absolutely. Hebrews 4:15 tells us that even Jesus was tempted
Oh,
in
wow.
every way, just as we are. Yet he never sinned.
Yet he never sinned,
But
exactly.
that shows us it's not about being perfect
It's not about
and
perfection.
about striving to resist.
It's about the effort
Yeah.
overcoming those urges,
Like he did.
just like he did.
That's a powerful reminder
I think so.
that we're human
We are?
and it's okay to struggle. So how can we recognize it in our own lives before it trips us up?
Well, I think the Lord's Prayer comes in handy here,
Yeah.
reminding us to ask God, lead us not into temptation. That's found in both Matthew 6:33 and Luke 11:4.
Okay, so we're acknowledging that we need help navigating those tricky situations.
Exactly. We need help, you know?
It's like we're saying, hey, God, I know I'm prone to wander off the path, so please give me a nudge
Give me a nudge, yes.
in the right direction.
And Proverbs 5:8 even offers some practical advice
Okay.
on avoiding temptation.
Okay, what's that?
Stay far away from the door of temptation. It's talking about adultery,
Right.
but we can apply that wisdom to anything that might lead us down the wrong path.
It's like that age-old advice about avoiding bad influences.
It is. It
If you know something's going to tempt you, it's best to steer clear.
Absolutely.
So it's all about creating healthy boundaries and being mindful of the environments we put ourselves in.
Right.
So we've talked about defining temptation and recognizing it, but
Yes.
what about resisting it?
Okay.
There are several verses that really emphasize prayer and watchfulness
Yeah.
when it comes to overcoming temptation.
That's key.
Matthew 26:41 and Mark 14:38 both urge us to watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation.
And there's a reason for that.
What's that?
Mark 14:38 acknowledges the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
So even when we have good intentions, our human nature can make us vulnerable.
Exactly.
That's why staying connected to God through prayer and being aware of our weaknesses is so crucial.
Absolutely.
It's almost like having a spiritual gym buddy.
I like that.
To spot us when we're feeling weak. Yeah. We're not meant to go it alone.
Not at all.
And we have a powerful example of this in Luke 22:40 and 22:46.
Yes.
In the Garden of Gethsemane, facing immense pressure, knowing what was to come, Jesus himself turned to prayer for strength.
He did.
Even Jesus, the Son of God, needed to lean on prayer in times of temptation.
Powerful.
It just shows how essential it is for all of
us. It does.
So prayer helps us stay connected to the source of our strength.
Yes.
Especially when we're feeling vulnerable.
It's about connecting with God, seeking his guidance, finding the strength to resist those things that might pull us away from him.
So it's not just about asking for stuff.
No.
It's about deepening that relationship.
It is.
But what about the times when we do give in? What does the Bible say about that?
Well, Luke 8:13 talks about those who believe for a while, but in times of testing fall away.
Interesting.
It suggests that those who lack deep roots in their faith are more susceptible to giving in.
If our faith is just a surface level thing,
right,
it's easier to be swayed when those winds of temptation blow our way.
Absolutely.
And Matthew 18:7 gives a serious warning.
It does.
About the consequences of leading others into temptation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a reminder that our actions have ripple effects.
They do.
We need to think beyond ourselves.
Yes.
Consider how our choices might influence others.
Especially those who look up to us.
Yeah.
Or who might be more easily influenced.
But are there any positive outcomes that can come from facing temptation?
There can be.
Really?
James 1:12 tells us, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life."
The crown of
life. That the Lord has promised
wow.
to those who love him.
So enduring temptation successfully can lead to spiritual growth, incredible rewards.
It can.
Hold on. The crown of life. What does that mean?
It could be interpreted in many ways.
I guess so.
But I think the key takeaway here is that there's a profound benefit to resisting temptation.
Okay.
It's like a spiritual muscle. Oh, I like that.
It gets stronger with each workout.
Every time we resist.
We're building resilience.
Yeah.
Moving closer to the fullness of life that God desires for us.
I love that analogy.
Yeah.
So temptation, while challenging, can be an opportunity for growth and a reminder of God's promises to those who remain faithful.
Absolutely.
Now, another fascinating aspect is that even in the midst of our struggles,
yes.
God's grace is there to meet us.
It is.
Galatians 4:13 describes Paul's own experience of temptation and how he was received with grace and compassion despite his failings.
It speaks volumes about forgiveness and understanding.
Paul struggled with temptation.
He did.
Wow, that makes me feel a little less alone in this whole thing.
You're not alone.
God knows we're not perfect, and he doesn't expect us to be.
He doesn't.
What matters is that we keep striving to live in alignment with his will.
It's about the striving.
Yeah, it's a comforting thought.
It is.
Knowing that even when we stumble, God's grace is there to pick us up.
And put us back on the right track.
It's a beautiful thing.
But it's also important to be wary of overconfidence.
Oh, absolutely.
Just because we've resisted in the past doesn't mean we're invincible.
1 Corinthians 10:12 cautions us.
What's that?
So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Even those who consider themselves strong in their faith can be vulnerable to temptation.
Humility is key.
It is.
We need to acknowledge that we can all fall prey to temptation.
No matter how strong we feel.
So we've talked about the human side of temptation.
Yes.
But what about God's role in all of this?
Okay.
Does he tempt us?
James 1:13 addresses that directly.
Okay.
When tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me."
Right.
For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone.
So God's not out to trick us or set us up for failure.
Not at all.
But he does allow us to be tested.
He does.
Remember 1 Corinthians 10:13?
Mm-hmm.
It says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind."
Yes.
And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear.
It's a promise.
But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
So God allows these challenges to come our way.
Yes.
Because they are opportunities for growth and strengthening our faith.
Think of it like a spiritual training ground.
Okay.
We face these tests to develop our character, to deepen our relationship with God.
And it's encouraging to know He won't allow us to be tested beyond our limits.
He won't.
He provides that way out.
He does.
That escape route when things get too overwhelming.
Exactly.
50 Peter 2.9 confirms this.
Okay.
The Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials.
He does. He's aware of our struggles.
So knowing that God is with us through those tough times, offering a way out, is incredibly reassuring.
It is.
And His understanding of our human weakness is beautifully portrayed in Hebrews 2.18.
Okay.
Because He Himself suffered when He was tempted, He is able to help those who are being tempted.
He gets it.
Jesus, having experienced temptation firsthand, can truly empathize with our struggles.
He can.
And offer us comfort and support.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before we wrap up this part of our deep dive, there's one more verse I want to touch on. It's James 1.15.
Okay.
And it paints a pretty stark picture of what happens when we give in to temptation.
It does. It says, "Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin."
Okay.
"And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death."
This verse underscores the seriousness of surrendering to those desires.
It does.
Our choices have consequences that can impact us profoundly.
They do. It's a sobering reminder.
For sure.
That while temptation is a part of life, it's crucial to be aware of the potential dangers.
Absolutely.
And to choose a different path.
It's about choosing life.
Yes.
Both spiritually and metaphorically, by resisting the allure of temptation.
Yes.
And embracing the path of righteousness.
It's about recognizing the power of our choices and striving to make those that lead to true fulfillment and lasting joy.
Wow. That's a lot to unpack. I feel like we've only just scratched the surface.
We have.
Of this whole temptation thing.
But we've laid a good foundation.
Yeah.
We've explored what temptation is, how it manifests in our lives.
Yeah.
And the importance of resisting it.
We even touched on those times when we might stumble.
We did.
And the incredible grace available to us.
Yes.
When we do.
It's there.
And in the next part of our deep dive, we'll delve even deeper into the specific types of temptation.
We will.
That you've highlighted in the verses you've sent in.
It's going to be good.
We'll examine what the Bible has to say about overcoming those specific challenges and how you can apply those lessons to your own life.
Looking forward to it.
So stay tuned.
Yes.
Because we're just getting started.
We are.
Welcome back. I hope you had some time to think about all that stuff we talked about in the first part. It really got me thinking about how temptation shows up in my own life.
Oh, yeah.
Especially those subtle ones.
Those sneaky ones.
Yeah, that can be easy to miss.
It's amazing how it can just blend into our everyday lives, you know?
Yeah.
Almost disguised as normal desires or aspirations.
Right, right.
But that's why it's so important to bring them into the light.
Totally.
And examine them through Scripture.
Absolutely. And that leads perfectly into what we want to explore in this part.
Okay.
We're going to take a closer look at some of the specific types of temptation highlighted in the verses you've shared.
Yeah, let's dive into the nitty-gritty.
Okay.
And see what we can learn from the Bible.
All right. Where should we start? What kind of temptations really stood out to you?
Well, one that seems to always be relevant is the temptation of wealth.
Oh, yeah. That's a big one.
It's something we all wrestle with on some level.
For sure.
Even if we don't consider ourselves materialistic.
Right.
1 Timothy 6.9 warns us.
Okay.
Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap.
Wow.
And into many foolish and harmful desires.
That's a pretty strong warning.
It is.
It really paints a picture of those consequences.
It does.
Of pursuing wealth above all else.
Yes.
But it's not just about being rich, is it?
No, you hit the nail on the head.
Okay.
It's about the love of money.
That
insatiable desire for more, 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 it can really warp our priorities.
I can see that.
And lead us down a path of emptiness and discontentment.
It reminds me of that saying, money is the root of all evil.
Yes, the common misquote.
It is.
The actual verse, 1 Timothy 6.9, clarifies that it's the love of money.
Okay.
That is the root of all kinds of evil.
So when we crave wealth above all else, we can stray from our values.
Absolutely.
And end up causing harm.
Yes.
To ourselves and others.
To ourselves and others, it's about keeping those priorities in check.
Right.
And remembering that true wealth
yeah.
lies in our relationships.
Our character.
Yeah. Character, yes.
Our spiritual connection.
Exactly.
Not in the size of our bank accounts.
Right. It's easy to get caught up in the comparison game.
Oh, yeah.
Always striving for more.
More, more, more.
But that often leaves us feeling empty and unfulfilled.
Like running on a treadmill.
It is.
Just going and going, but never really getting anywhere.
Now, another temptation that emerges
okay.
from the verses you've sent is the more general temptation to sin.
Okay.
To turn away from God.
Right.
And his will for our lives, mm-hmm. Hebrews 3.8 warns us
okay.
not to harden our hearts.
Okay.
As in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness.
Okay. And Psalm 95.8 echoes this sentiment.
It does.
Reminding us of the Israelites' journey through the wilderness.
Yes.
All those years of wandering and testing.
Even after seeing miracles,
yeah.
they struggled with doubt,
yeah.
disobedience.
Longing for those comforts they left behind.
It's powerful, isn't it?
It is.
That even when we know the right path, yeah. we can still be tempted to stray.
So we have this inner compass
yeah. Yeah.
that points us towards God.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes external distractions.
Or internal doubts.
Create interference.
They do.
Making it hard to follow that true north.
Those verses are calling us
okay.
to cultivate humility.
Okay.
Recognizing that we need God's guidance.
Every step of the way.
Every step of the way.
We can't rely on our own strength.
Or willpower alone.
We need to stay connected to the source of our strength.
Absolutely.
Through prayer, studying his word, and surrounding ourselves with a supportive community.
Yes.
Speaking of prayer.
Okay.
Several of the verses you sent in highlight the importance of prayer.
Yes.
And watchfulness. When facing temptation.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 26.41 and Mark 14.38 urge us
okay.
to watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation.
And we see Jesus modeling this in Luke 22.40 and 22.46.
In the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yes.
So these verses emphasize being proactive.
Absolutely.
And vigilant in our spiritual lives.
Yeah. Temptation can sneak up on us.
It can.
When we least expect it.
Right.
So we need to be prepared.
Prayer is our lifeline.
It is.
Keeping us connected to God.
Mm-hmm.
Allowing us to tap into his strength.
Like putting on our spiritual armor.
I love
ready
you.
For battle.
We're not alone in those battles. Even Jesus relied on prayer to face those challenges.
It's powerful, right?
It is.
If Jesus needed that connection,
mm-hmm.
how much more do we?
Yeah, prayer is not a sign of weakness.
No.
It's a sign of wisdom and humility.
Absolutely.
Okay, switching gears a bit.
Okay.
Revelation 3.0 offers a different perspective on temptation.
Okay.
It says, "Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth."
That's an interesting one.
So it suggests there will be a time of intense global temptation.
A trial for everyone.
Wow.
But it also offers a promise of protection.
Oh.
For those who remain faithful.
Even when things get really tough.
Yes.
It feels like the whole world is being shaken.
God is still with us.
Offering refuge and strength.
To those who trust in him.
It highlights perseverance and trust
yeah.
in the face of adversity.
Absolutely.
When surrounded by chaos and uncertainty.
We can find peace and security.
In our relationship with God.
Yes.
Speaking of tough times.
Mm-hmm.
Another temptation is the temptation to abandon our faith during those times.
Oh, yeah.
Of difficulty or doubt.
Luke 8.13 talks about those who believe for a while.
Okay.
But in times of testing, they fall away.
Our faith can be fragile.
It can.
Especially when we're facing challenges.
Challenging circumstances.
Or wrestling with tough questions.
It's easy to let doubt creep in and yeah. start questioning everything.
It's like our faith is a delicate flower.
I like that.
That needs constant care.
Nurturing.
If we neglect it, it can wither and die.
Especially in harsh conditions.
We need to cultivate a deep and resilient faith. One that's rooted in understanding.
God's word and his character.
It's not enough to just go through the motions.
No.
We need to engage with our faith.
Intellectually.
Emotionally.
Everywhere.
We need to wrestle with the tough questions.
Absolutely.
Seek answers and allow our faith to be challenged and refined.
That's where growth happens, when yeah. we step outside our comfort zones.
And allow our faith to be tested.
It's a lifelong journey.
Yeah.
Of learning and questioning.
And deepening our understanding of God.
Now, there's a verse we touched on earlier,
okay.
but it deserves a closer look.
Which one?
Matthew 18.7.
Okay.
It says, "Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come."
That's a powerful one.
It is.
It speaks to the consequences of leading others astray.
Yes.
Of causing them to stumble.
In their faith or their moral compass.
It acknowledges temptation is unavoidable.
It is.
But it places a heavy burden.
A heavy.
On those who intentionally entice others.
Yes.
To do wrong.
Yes.
So it's not just about our individual choices.
No.
It's about the influence we have on others.
We need to be mindful.
We're called to be positive influences.
Yes.
To build others up.
Encourage them.
We need to be mindful of our words.
Our actions.
Knowing they can have a ripple effect.
Absolutely.
We're all interconnected.
We are.
And our actions have far-reaching consequences.
Now, listener, as we've been exploring these temptations, I hope you've noticed that the Bible doesn't just present these challenges without offering guidance and support.
It doesn't.
It's full of wisdom and encouragement
for sure
for navigating these situations.
We've seen temptation is universal.
Yes.
But we've also encountered verses that offer hope and strength.
And practical strategies.
For overcoming those temptations.
1 Corinthians 10.3 reminds us, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it.
That's a powerful promise.
It is.
Like a lifeline. In the midst of the storm.
Even when we feel overwhelmed.
We can trust God is with us.
Offering a way to escape.
A path to safety and strength.
And this is echoed in 2 Peter 2.9.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials.
He sees our efforts.
He hears our cries.
And provides the support we need.
It's a beautiful reminder, we're not alone.
And God is always there to help us overcome those desires.
And make choices that lead to life.
To wholeness.
To true freedom.
Now, another verse offers insight into the nature of temptation.
What's that?
James 1.14.
Oh, okay.
It says, each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed.
So it really emphasizes the internal nature of temptation.
It does.
Our desires and appetites.
Play a role in leading us astray.
Like internal triggers, deep-seated desires.
That can be exploited.
But recognizing those triggers is crucial.
Absolutely.
Resisting them.
It's about taking ownership.
Of our choices.
Yes.
Recognizing that we have the power to say no.
It's not about blaming external factors.
Right.
Or making excuses.
It's about understanding ourselves.
Our weaknesses.
Our vulnerabilities.
So we can be more vigilant.
And proactive.
In resisting those temptations.
It's like learning our own temptation map.
Yeah.
Identifying those danger zones.
And developing strategies.
You're navigating them safely.
Exactly. Now, James 1.15 provides an image.
Okay.
Of the progression from temptation to sin.
Okay.
It says, then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death.
Wow. That's vivid.
It is.
It paints a picture of the consequences.
Of giving in to those desires.
Like a domino effect.
It is.
One small compromise leads to another.
And before you know it.
You're caught in a web.
Of sin and destruction. It's a sobering reminder that our choices.
Yes.
Have consequences.
Are reaching consequences.
Impacting not only ourselves.
But also those around us.
It's a powerful call. To choose wisely.
To seek God's guidance.
And to rely on his strength.
As we navigate temptation.
It's not about living in fear.
Yeah.
Or trying to avoid temptation at all costs.
It's about approaching it with wisdom.
With discernment.
And reliance on God's grace.
To help us make those tough choices.
And even when we stumble.
Yeah.
God's grace is there.
Hebrews 2.18 reminds us.
Yeah.
Because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted.
Jesus' own experience.
Allows him to understand our weaknesses.
To empathize.
And offer compassion and support.
God is not a distant judge.
You're right.
He's a loving father.
Who understands our human frailty.
And offers us a path to forgiveness.
Now, as we wrap up.
Okay.
I want to offer some advice.
Correct.
From Proverbs 5.8. Remove your way far from her. And do not go near the door of her house.
This is about adultery.
But we can apply it more broadly.
To any area where we might be tempted.
It's about setting healthy boundaries.
Yes.
Being proactive.
Avoiding those situations that trigger us.
It's like recognizing our kryptonite.
Our kryptonite. I like that.
And taking steps to avoid it.
We wouldn't intentionally expose ourselves.
To something that weakens us.
Exactly.
So why would we do that spiritually?
It's about being intentional.
Yeah.
About what we allow into our lives.
Both physically and mentally.
We need to guard our hearts and minds.
So in this part. Yeah. We've explored some specific temptations.
Highlighted in the Bible.
And God doesn't leave us empty-handed.
No, he doesn't.
When facing those challenges.
He offers us wisdom, strength, and practical strategies.
For overcoming those desires.
And in the next part,
okay,
we'll shift our focus to some practical takeaways.
Ooh, good.
And strategies for applying these insights.
I'm excited about that.
To our everyday lives.
So stay tuned.
The best is yet to come.
Welcome back to our deep dive. It's been quite the journey so far, hasn't it?
Yeah, we've covered a lot of ground, haven't we?
I mean, from understanding what temptation even is, to those specific types that just seem to trip us up again and again.
Oh, absolutely.
But now, in this last part,
okay,
I want to shift gears and talk about, you know, practical stuff.
Yeah, let's do it.
How can we take what we've learned from the Bible and actually use it,
right,
to handle those temptations in our everyday lives?
Because it's one thing to talk about temptation in theory,
yeah,
but it's another thing entirely to actually resist it, you know?
Right. It's like knowing all about healthy eating.
Yeah.
But still reaching for that extra slice of cake at night.
Oh, yeah. I've been there.
The real test is in the doing, isn't it?
The doing, absolutely.
So let's get into some practical strategies.
Okay.
Drawing wisdom from the scriptures.
I like it.
And first and foremost, you are not alone in this.
Oh, you're so right.
Temptation, it's a universal thing.
It is.
Even Jesus was tempted. Yeah, even Jesus. Knowing that even Jesus faced those struggles makes me feel a little less, you know.
Less alone.
Less like a failure.
Yeah.
When I mess up.
We all stumble. It's part of being human.
But we get back up.
We do.
Learn from our mistakes.
Yes.
And keep trying to live the way God wants us to.
And we don't have to fight alone.
That's right.
Don't be afraid to reach out, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Talk to a friend, a mentor,
maybe
a therapist even.
Yeah.
Share your struggles. Seek guidance.
It's like having that spiritual support system.
It is.
People to cheer us on, keep us accountable.
Exactly. Now, another practical step,
okay,
is to be proactive about avoiding temptation.
Right. Like Proverbs 5.8 says, remove your way far from her and do not go near the door of her house.
It's good advice.
If you know that certain things,
certain places, certain activities
live to trigger you,
steer clear.
Don't put yourself in that position to make a bad choice.
It's all about knowing your vulnerabilities and being intentional
about creating a safe space for yourself,
both physically and mentally.
And then boundaries.
Oh, boundaries. Yeah.
So important.
They can feel tough sometimes.
They can.
But they're really about freedom.
They are freedom from the consequences
of giving in.
They give us structure, support.
Help us stay focused on what matters.
Now, we've talked a lot about prayer.
We have.
And it's an essential tool for resisting temptation.
It really is.
It's how we connect with God.
Yeah.
How we tap into his strength.
His guidance.
Receive his grace.
It's like plugging into that divine power source,
yeah,
that helps us overcome our weaknesses.
And prayer is not just about asking.
No.
It's about a relationship with God.
It is.
Listening to his voice.
Mm-hmm.
Surrendering to his will.
Aligning our hearts with his.
We're not in this alone.
Not at all.
We have a loving Father who wants to help us.
Another thing that can help.
Okay, what's that?
Is studying God's word.
The Bible, yes.
The more we read it,
the more we'll know it.
Internalize its truths.
And be able to actually use it.
It's full of stories of people facing temptation.
Making mistakes.
Learning lessons.
It's like a spiritual roadmap.
I like that.
Guiding us through those tough spots.
And showing us there's a way through.
Even when it's hard.
It can be helpful to have a plan for when temptation hits.
A plan.
Yeah, like think through your values.
Okay.
Your goals, your strategies for resisting.
Before you're in that moment.
Exactly. Because if you already have a game plan.
Right.
You're less likely to make impulsive decisions.
So it's like identifying your triggers.
Your triggers, yeah.
And having a plan to deal with them.
Maybe avoiding certain people or places.
Having a go-to activity.
Taking a few deep breaths.
Before reacting.
You could even write down some affirmations.
Or Bible verses.
To give you strength.
It's like a spiritual first aid kit.
I love that.
Ready to go when we need it.
And remember, even if you stumble.
Yeah.
Don't give up.
Don't give up.
God's grace is always there.
It is.
Pick yourself up.
Dust yourself off.
Keep moving forward.
It's about progress, not perfection.
Beautifully said. Temptation can be an opportunity for growth.
It can.
It can show us where we need to grow our faith.
To clarify our values.
To deepen our trust in God.
It's often when we feel weakest.
That we discover our true strength.
So instead of fearing temptation.
We can see it as a chance to learn.
To grow.
Embrace the challenges. Learn from mistakes.
This has been so insightful.
It has.
I feel like I have a whole new way of looking at temptation.
Oh, that's great to hear.
It's not just about saying no.
No.
It's about understanding ourselves better.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding God.
And the power of his grace.
We've seen that everyone struggles with temptation.
It's a universal struggle.
But we're not alone.
We have the wisdom of the Bible,
the power of prayer,
and the love of God
to guide us and strengthen us.
And remember, the journey is just as important
as the destination.
Embrace the challenges.
Celebrate the victories.
Seek God's guidance
every step of the way.
May you find freedom from temptation
and walk in the fullness of life that God has for you.